All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire, while some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. You notice I didn't sing that. But I've always liked that little song. It's the way things should be. There's a place for everyone and something for each of us to do. To get serious, time's growing short for us as a congregation. Time's coming when Pastor Brian, Connie, and the boys will be leaving for their new call. All the things that need to be done here at Calvary are still going to need to be done. Regular services, visitations, confirmation, on and on. At other times when we were between pastors, the council has not scrambled to find outside help. Congregational members have stepped forward to fill the gaps. It's likely that we will follow the same pattern this time. We have learned, we have grown and matured, both as individuals and as Christ's body during these intervals. Isn't that exactly what Pastor Brian has worked so diligently to equip us for? As our shepherd, he has called us to be family. He has trained us to be the voice, the hands, the feet, and the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us to be more than pew sitters. Just look at the new members of this year's Sunday school teaching staff. People are answering the call to serve. What a blessing to be part of an active laity. Many of you have become part of this family in just the last few years. I pray that the next months will be an experience you will remember as a positive one. Joan and I were relatively new members here when Pastor Mark Olson took a call. We watched as our leadership transitioned into really active mode. It impressed me and caused me to consider what may be required of us. Now, as a part of that leadership, I ask that you pray for us, listen for your call to participate more, step out of your comfort zone, and know that God's Holy Spirit is moving among us and through us. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we will begin reading at verse 16. John 14, beginning at verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for making every provision for us, especially that you have not left us to fend for ourselves. Anytime that we struggle, your Spirit is there to intervene on our behalf. Lord, keep us mindful of your never-ending presence in us and with us, just as Jesus promised. In his name we pray, amen. Free Lutheran theology was birthed in a crucible of persecution, as you probably already know. The official church of Norway was a state church under the umbrella of the government. Free exercise of biblical faith was not always tolerated. Quite often, it was the official way or the highway. The roots of Free Lutheranism began when a farmer turned itinerant preacher spoke the gospel from his heart to anyone who would listen. To make a very long story short, Hans Nielsen Hauge spent 7 years in prison for serving God in the best way that he knew. His health was taken by the cold, damp cell, but the seeds of change that he sowed were sown. The movement that bore his name came to America with some of the Norwegian immigrants. Here it became the Lutheran Free Church. A whole lot of years later, in 1998, Joan and I became part of what Hauge began so many years ago. Ours is a story very similar to almost every one of you here. As we began to learn about the AFLC, my first reaction was this: can this really work? There's no governing structure. There is no accountability to a synod or other organization. Is this nothing more than a bunch of renegade congregations loosely banded together because they like autonomy? It took me a while to put it all together, and this was my conclusion. When God's Holy Spirit is put in charge in place of human structure, everything changes. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that he may be with us forever." How long is forever? It's a long time. Is he with us here today? Is he with us here today? Yes. Amen. I ask you, which is better, to be accountable to a synodical structure or to be accountable to the Holy Spirit of the living God? Which is better, to follow the edicts of men or to follow the God-breathed, inerrant scripture? These are the same scriptures which tell us, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Our passage continues. This helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. We live in a world of relativism, where an absolute truth is scoffed at from almost everywhere. But this idea that you can have your truth and I can have a different truth is completely absurd. Two or more opposing beliefs cannot all be true. If one thing is true, anything else becomes false simply by default. Jesus here declares the third person of the triune God to be the Spirit of truth. Is it then possible to build a foundation of faith on anything other than what the Holy Spirit declares? I really don't think so. Jesus himself states, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." nothing. Our midweek Bible study has been looking at the 12 disciples. What an unlikely group they were. Uneducated fishermen. Peter, with a large ego and his foot very firmly planted in his mouth. James and John, who asked for a special place and the authority to call down fire on people who they didn't like. Matthew, a hated tax collector. Thomas, the pessimist who always wanted proof. Do you get the idea? How could these guys accomplish anything, much less bring the gospel to the world? But once God's promised Spirit descended upon them, the world was literally turned upside down. They preached, they taught, and performed great miracles. And so it can be with people like us. Sisters and brothers, we've gone in a circle this morning. We started with the task at hand. It is a task that we encounter from time to time as God directs our shepherd to a new harvest field. Next, I thought it profitable to remind ourselves, longtime members and new members alike, who we are, why we are who we are, and where we came from. Our founders faced greater obstacles than we do. Most important, and this is what we really need to remember, we must always ground ourselves in God, our Creator and Sustainer, in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and in the Spirit who guides, teaches, comforts, and empowers us. That brings us full circle, back to the task at hand. No one of us can know what God can accomplish through us until we in faith say, "Lord, not my will, but your will for my life." He can, and he most certainly will, use you to bring souls into the kingdom and to care for someone in need. Allow me to close this morning by telling you about just one of several incidents that have taken place in the ministry that I have so graciously been given. On our way to worship one Sunday morning, a powerful pull to stop at the care center came to me. A longtime friend was there, and she was not doing well. When I entered the room, I realized she could no longer speak. So I took her hand in mine, telling her that Jesus loved her and that he was very near and was watching over her. I asked if she knew that. She gave me a gentle squeeze of her hand to tell me that she knew. We prayed for a few moments. That was our last visit. She went home to her Lord. Don't miss opportunities like that. I will never forget that simple little squeeze of her hand saying, "Jesus is with me." Yes, Renee, that was you, Mom. Please pray with me. Father, you open doors for us that we might touch someone with your love. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we do not walk past the open doors. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness and grace when we fail. Continue to pour out your Spirit and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.